Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 106. Super excited that you've joined us today. And also, we were super excited to meet a lot of our listeners at our second annual Godly Young Men Podcast seminar. Shout out to Leoma Church of Christ. They've had us out for 2 years in a row now. Tyler and Micah. That happened this past Saturday. I guess two Saturdays ago by the time this comes out. But yeah, it was great to meet some of you guys. Great to meet some of you guys who are in our Discord, which if you want to join our Discord, link is in the description or comment. Yeah, description as always. So click on that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Also, if you're wondering, I absolutely am wearing this Lakers hoodie because the one of the biggest NBA trades of all time happened. Luka Doncic to the Lakers. If you're not a basketball fan, you will not know about that. But even if you're relatively a sports fan, you've got to know about it.
Yeah,
it was enormous. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, Luka, LeBron on the same
team.
They
said biggest trade of all time, I think is what they were calling it. Biggest NBA trade of all time. And it's got to be one of the biggest sports trades of all time.
Well, it's definitely the biggest surprise.
I mean, it's... Yeah, we were talking about it. Will and my brother and I were talking about it. And maybe for those that are old enough to remember, Wayne Gretzky back in 93, I think, or what it is, 1990, they traded him, something like that. That blew up the sports world. Like, there's hardly any trades like this.
This is the biggest one in a long time.
It's insane. Yeah. So, good luck to your team.
It's not going to matter. But, hey, it'll be fun
to watch.
We'll see how it goes. The other thing, last thing, Joe, do you want to show off our latest gym merch?
Yes.
We're both repping it today.
We are repping it. I wish you could show. I could show you the back. But yeah, we got custom Nikes. So we thought that'd be fun as it's grown and as we hit 100 plus
kinda
episodes.
Matches our logo.
Matches our logo. The yellow is, a little bit off because Nike is not dialed in just right. But that's okay. When we get big enough, they'll be building it based off of this color perfectly. But that's okay. And we got the gym, GYM on the back of the left, and SFG for Strive for Greatness on the right here, right heel. And so... Yeah, we're
good looking shoe. Yeah,
we like it. We like it. It's comfy too.
I realize if you're listening on the podcast app, a lot of this probably doesn't mean a lot to you, but this is why you need to watch on YouTube as well.
Exactly. Wearing his Lakers hoodie and us wearing our shoes. But
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
check it. Right. We're also going to be working. We talked about this before. Will's done some great work on the videos. We're going to try to be increasing videos, and especially with what we have coming up, I'm hoping to be able to get into my office more and shoot some videos and such. So. We're excited for that, but yeah, make sure to join the Discord. We got a good thing going over there. We're pretty excited about everybody we have. I was trying to think of how many we have up to this point.
About 35 or 40, I
think. Is it? Yeah, a few dozen. So yeah, we'd love to see you over there. Make sure to join that. Make sure to check out merch as well. We can put that in the description. If you want to rep our stuff, we love it on the merch. These are more on the custom. You can go build these on Nike.
Yeah, these are not on the merch store,
Anyway, so yeah, with that, I think we can jump right in because Will has a... We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about this before on certain podcasts, but from the start of the gym podcast, we've made no secrets about the fact that there are certain types of people, certain types of guys that you should just completely avoid being. You don't want to be these guys. We had that full episode of episode 67 of don't be that guy, right? There's a lot of different...
We went through like eight, I think, in that
episode. The traits or the qualities that... Let's be honest, just don't do that. Nobody likes being around those guys. And we talked about, I think we had the actually guy, Mr. Know-It-All, Tone Police you have on here, the Mr. One-Up You. But there's one that stands out above all, and Will is very passionate about this one. More than the other ones that were on that list. One was on the list,
no,
right?
No, it was not.
I can't believe it.
We did not. I thought that's why I was like, let's do an episode.
Okay, I missed that in here on the notes. That's unbelievable we did not put this one down because this one's something that we've talked about a lot. As I said, Will's very passionate, so I'm going to let him kick this episode off and why this matters to him.
Yeah, I mean, you can see in the title, like, we're talking about kind of the flake. And as I was thinking about the type of guy that this is, it's kind of difficult to come up with one label or one specific definition of who this type of guy is. Whereas, you know, the one-up guy, that's pretty easy, right? He just always one-ups your stories and the actually know-it-all or whatever. Like, that's pretty easy. The flake is somebody like the type of guy who's a flake is somebody that I would imagine every single one of our listeners knows somebody like this, maybe works with somebody like this, goes to school with somebody like this, has talked to people like this. And Joe's right that this is kind of a hobby horse of mine. It is because they are the most irritating people on the planet to me. They just are, specifically guys. Because to me, and the reason why we're on this podcast talking about this, a lot of it kind of represents the polar opposite of what I think godly young men should be. I've got, I think, six general character traits of this guy who is just a flake. Six things that we're going to kind of talk about, six descriptions of that and why you really shouldn't be that. But as I was putting them down, I really was thinking, like, this is just this is just not the type of guy that a godly young man should be. Right. I mean, we're about to go through it here, but that is kind of my encouragement to you as we go through this list is like, it's not just that, oh, this type of guy irritates Will, and so that's why. No, it's these types of guys are, they kind of have problematic traits, very problematic qualities about them that kind of don't let them fit the mold of a godly young man.
Well, and, you know, this is, as we said, it's a hobby horse series, but for good reason. There's a reason why this drives you nuts. Partially, I think these are nuanced. We're going to get into it, but I think some of these are nuanced where on the surface you look at it and go, is it that big a deal? When you add some of these things up, when you're looking at it, yes, it is a big deal because it tells a lot more about a person's character, even though it may not be like you're out there, you know, smoking weed type of thing, something majorly, whoa, hey, we avoid that. These are going to be more subtle. Your friend's going to do it and you're going to go, I don't know that I like that, right? You know, those type of things. I think there's a subtlety here that if we're not careful, we can miss that. And then you can be a flake your entire life and not really want, you know, you always wonder why like people aren't that close to you or, you know, why, I don't know, why commitments and things like that, why you struggle with those. And so I wanted to jump right in on the general character traits. As he says, he's got six here, and I think he's made a very good list of really defining what the flake is and why this is a problem. And so first one, you back out of plans. The flake is the guy who backs out of plans. Yeah, I told you I'd be there, I know, but something came up, man, last minute. Something always comes up. There's always something else that's like, I can't count on you for anything. If I make plans, I have to check with you like 10 minutes before to make sure you're actually going to be there, because otherwise, who knows? Something could have come, could have slipped your mind, could have just been something more important. And you make people feel like trash when you're backing out of plans, because what they realize is, I'm of secondary, tertiary, however many importances back. Yeah. I'm not a first importance. I'm not a priority because you're willing to cancel at the drop of a hat. Nobody likes that guy.
You're going to struggle in friendships if you have this type of attitude of, oh, like you said, oh man, you know, sorry man, something came up. Like literally where, you know, you'll be at the place that you guys are supposed to meet at. You're checking your watch. Man, it's been 10 minutes. Give them a call. There's guys like this where, you know, they'll literally be at the place, you know, you'll be at the place you're supposed to meet at. You'll call them. He'll be like, oh man, I forgot to let you know. Sorry about that. Something came up. And it's like, I drove here. I was here on time.
Yep.
It's more of a respect thing than anything else. This guy, the flake is somebody who backs out of plans, somebody who can't be relied upon to show up to really anything. I think about, you know, later on in life, maybe you need some help moving and you call up your buddy and then, you know, oh yeah, I'll be there. What time? Oh yeah. Tuesday morning at 9. Yeah, for sure. I'll be there. Tuesday morning rolls around, 9:15, 9:20, 9:30, your buddy's not there, shoot him a text. Sorry, man, something came up or, you know, whatever it is. And listen, not trying to say that you can absolutely never back out of a plan.
Right,
obviously,
right.
There are emergency situations, there's work things, there's family things. I'm talking about the guy who pretty consistently you're like, he's a 40% chance to be here because he just is, he's going to back out somehow.
The reputation precedes you.
That's a problem. That's a serious problem.
Well, and with this, I was thinking about that of, one of the biggest issues that I have with this is how many times is it either the last minute or you have to contact them. Oh man, I'm so sorry. I meant to tell you. No, you didn't mean to tell me. If you meant to tell me, you would have told me.
Yep. Like, it was not important enough to you to let
correct.
Me know. Yeah.
If you have to back out of plans, please be the type of guy that the first thing, I mean, that's on your mind of like, man, I got called into work. And as soon as your boss calls you into work, the very next phone call is, hey man, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to cancel. I just got called into work. Rather than, you get called into work or whatever it is. Sometimes these are legitimate excuses, but you get called into work and then, oh, forgot to tell you. That's just as bad as you not showing up, is forgetting because he's counting on you. Same thing. I have had that one happen. You drive all the way there. You get to the restaurant and somebody goes, oh man, I had something come up. You couldn't have told me that 30 minutes earlier before I got in the car and came all the way, you know, and sitting here like an idiot alone. Come on. Just don't be that guy.
It's just a courtesy thing once again.
Yes, common courtesy. Exactly.
It demonstrates that you are thinking of someone else other than yourself. And all of these are going to be reflective of somebody who thinks about himself and pretty much only himself and not anybody else. Number two, because it ties into this one, of the second character trait, won't ever commit to anything. Maybe because he knows he's probably going to back out. He's, you know, you say, hey man, we're getting together. Are you going to be there? You know, we would love to have you. Love for you to come to the Super Bowl party or love for you to come over for game night. Love to go out to the movies with you. Love whatever. And he's just really, really wishy-washy. Man, you know, I'll have to check. Or, you know, let me see. I'll think about it. I'll let you know. And just won't ever commit to anything. That also, as somebody who's been on the receiving end of that from people a few times, tells me a couple things. One, it tells me you're just kind of waiting around looking for a better option. Because generally, and this does not sound rude, like, I know the lives of the people that I'm talking to, and it's like, okay, I know you're not exactly a, you know, high-level CEO that could get called into work at any time. Like, you're off, you don't have anything going on, but it's can't commit to it. And this is just one of those things, and this is where I would encourage you, like, don't commit to everything. Don't be that person who overcommits and then backs out, like we just talked about. But what you want to be is somebody who, you know, if you're going to be there, say you're going to be there. Hey, I'll be there. Yep, sounds good. I'll be there. Commit to it and be there, and don't be Mr. Wishy-Washy about it.
That's such a key point. Commit with integrity, right? You want to follow through on it, but slow down. Before you make the commitment, make sure that you are doing this with full knowledge of, I don't just feel good about it today. Everything feels good. Oh, man, I'll be there. That's great. You know, we just had a great lunch together, and you need help moving next Tuesday at 9? And yeah, for sure.
Haven't even checked your calendar.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know what? All of a sudden, the feel goods of me meeting on Thursday for lunch, and it's great, and Tuesday rolls around. Now I no longer want to go. Now I'm trying to look for any excuse. I'm looking for the better option. As you said, be very intentional with the commitments you make. Don't just throw these around willy-nilly. You've all commit to everything. Be very intentional in saying, I mean, I'm so sorry, I can't. I don't care how good it feels, and you're on this high, and everybody's getting along, and they ask you to do something for them. Take a second before you commit yourself to something that, like, I think we do the thinking for future Joe, and sometimes you can get into the problem of future Joe doing thinking for present, but we do the thinking of, like, oh, he's good for it.
Yeah.
Is he? You're good for it today, and if the move was taking place in 10 minutes, you'd be good for it. Is future Joe good for it? You have to think along those lines when you're going to make commitments, because you got to honor these commitments. That's incredibly important. Yeah. The guy who can't honor, he either backs out of plans, or he's not honoring the commitments that he's made, or he's always looking for the better option. Once again, nobody wants to be around that guy, but you get this reputation of, like, I don't know, he doesn't honor commitments. And that's one of the worst reputations you can have, in my opinion, one of the worst ones you can have, because you're not a man of honor. You're not a man of integrity. You're not a man who's going to follow through on what he said he's going to do. And people start looking at that as a liar. And you go, I didn't lie. For all intents and purposes, it is.
It's just such a good trait as a friend, as a when you start intentionally dating somebody, like the point where, you know, they want to get together, they want to hang out, you can commit, because there is such a balance. Joe's right. You don't want to overcommit. You don't want to be the person that just, you know, the Oprah. You get a commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody, exactly. No, but you also do not want to be the person that never commits to anything.
Yep.
Because that, like, people are not stupid. What that tells them is, if it was really important to him, they would, number one, commit to being there. He's not committing to be there as kind of a thing with him, meaning he's going to kind of wait around, see if anything better comes up. Right. And if nothing better comes up, okay, sure, maybe he'll be there. It doesn't make people feel good. It does not make people, and not that you need to always make people feel good, but, like, if you're trying to have a good friendship, a good relationship with somebody else, if you're trying to be kind to people, generically speaking, you need to honor your commitments. And that starts with making a commitment to be somewhere versus just kind of, like, again, just there's a wishy-washiness to this that's frustrating.
It's that word, intentionality. We both mentioned it. Intentionality. Yes, make your commitments. Make them intentionally, knowing what the future, you know, to a certain degree, what the future holds of, like, I'm going to show up whether I hate this or not. Whether I get invited to go to the president, you know what I mean? Well, like, if I made the commitment to be there and I'm going to really hurt somebody if I back out, I can't be the guy who's always just looking for the best thing. So be intentional on this.
And let me just real fast and we'll move on.
Yeah.
This is very easy to do. This is not difficult. If you manage your time well, and if you have a good, you know, Google Calendar, whatever, where Joe says, hey, Will, I'm moving, just to go back to that example, next Thursday at 11 o'clock, you know, can you be there? It takes 60 seconds to pull up your phone. Do you work? Do you have anything else going on? And if you do not, that is when you have a split second decision of, do I want to help Joe go move?
Right.
And if, and hopefully the answer is yes, which obviously for me it would be. So I would say, I don't have anything going on. I'll be there. Boom. It's that easy.
Right.
Now, again, if it's something that maybe you don't want to do, like if it's like maybe a lighter example of go out to a movie or something, then maybe that's something that you say, let me get back to you in 24 hours. I don't know for sure. But like, if you manage your time, well, this is pretty easy to do. Do you have something going on or not? And you just have to decide in the moment instead of delaying the decision until it's like, well, now I have to decide because the movie's in 2 hours. Like, you just don't want to be that person.
The one other thing I'll say is take everything into consideration. So it's Thursday at 11. And man, I'm free. My schedule. Yeah, but you worked until 2 a.m. You had the late shift. And so now you're having to get up and, oh boy, I don't want to have to get up. And man, he's 45 minutes away and that's going to be difficult. And all of a sudden you're having to convince yourself to go there when you looked at your calendar and said, oh, it's free. You didn't consider the night before. You didn't consider, man, I got to be at work at like 6 p.m. and I got a 12-hour shift coming up and so I'm only going to 4 hours. That's really going to be tight for me. think ahead. I shouldn't, you know, like the person who's asking shouldn't be the one thinking for you about your schedule.
Right.
Just think about it. Put a little intentionality into it. Think about every contingency of the night before, whatever it may be. But be willing to commit. Just be smart with your commitments. Number three, the flake is the guy who calls out of work. Will, you deal with this one, so I should let you take this one.
No, you go for it.
My parents had a business. The amount of people that called out of work was staggering.
Grown men.
Make good money. You can especially see, and unfortunately, when you're in an industry, construction industry, anytime after like St. Patty's Day or Cinco de Mayo or things like that, where it's a heavy drinking holiday, like you might as well not work the next day because everybody committed. Hey, were you going to be able to work the next day? Oh yeah, for sure. And then they get there and they are not, in a state
not
to work.
Not suitable for work.
And so guess what? They call out of work and everybody's, oh, I got the flu. I'm sure you do. You know, Michael Jordan had the flu too. Like they call out of work and they're flakes. And sometimes you can anticipate, but the flake is the guy who's, once again, he's always looking for the better option. If he gets some, well, oh man, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling super well. He wants to go to the movies with his buddy. No. Stay there. So I wanted you to go off on that though, because I'm sure in your position, you see this a lot.
Listen, I understand there is such a thing as sickness. I get that sickness exists. You know, you're throwing up, you know, all night, probably shouldn't go in. You know, stuff like that. Last weekend, by the time this comes out, 2 weekends ago, was dealing with something. I don't know what it was. I think I had a fever. Felt like garbage. Guess what? I went to work. I just don't went to work. There's an element of understanding that, okay, yes, if I'm contagious, probably shouldn't go in. But other than that, you'll just see these guys who, man, once every 2 weeks, they're calling out.
Yep.
Once every 3 weeks. Yeah, and the symptom is, I'm just not feeling, woke up not feeling well. I've said this before. You know how many times I've woken up not feeling well, not feeling great at 4:30 in the morning, still went into work. Yep. Like there is a flakiness to these, and unfortunately it is these 22, 23, 24-year-old guys who, because maybe their job is not, again, the CEO job, they think that calling out is not a big deal.
Right.
And so it's just call out here, call out there, call out here, call out there. It's the flakiest thing in the world. And the other thing that I've got on here, they treat work like if it's like it's a only if you're at 100% do you go to work. Yeah. Joe, how many days do you go to work when you're not 100%?
Most.
Yeah, exactly. Like work is not, for us as godly young men, work is not a only if you're feeling at your absolute best.
Right.
That's what a Friday night date is.
Yeah, or something exactly.
Like that, yep. Okay. That's not work. And so this one I feel like should kind of go without saying. And I'm not saying that, you know, Matt Walsh, the Daily Wire guy, he's a firm believer that adults shouldn't take sick days. I kind of agree. Like, I understand what he's saying. Listen, again, if you're throwing up at the toilet all night, you probably shouldn't go into work. Other than that, but that's the other thing, too. If you're doing that every other month, people are not going to buy that because that's not super realistic.
Here's the thing. If you use it all the time, if you're sick all the time, yes, you're unreliable. But the reason why, if you were to call out sick, that has some gravitas. That has some weight to it because you never call out sick because you're going to be there. Even if you're not feeling well, you're going to be there. So if you call out sick, the first thing on your boss's mind is he's got to be really sick. He's always here. He's here when he doesn't feel well. When he's at 20%, the guy is still here getting work done, busting his butt. And so if that's the case and you call in sick, they're going to assume you're basically on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Like, and that matters. Whereas if you're the flake who's calling in every couple of weeks because you're sick, at some point they go, again, are you serious? You were sick like last Tuesday.
And you just said, I'm sure you are.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get the reputation. And even if you're genuinely sick, get to the doctor, figure something out. Yeah. If you're sick that much, whatever it is, the other thing you had underneath here is the guy who's exhausted by the 32-hour work week. Oh, I just can't possibly. Hey, can you stay late this day? You know, can you bump to 40 hours this week? Sorry, man, I'm so tired. I'm just exhausted. I'm not feeling super well. Like, so you call out of work that way. You try to, basically, you are skirting around any time that work requires something of you. You're trying to get around it. That's the flake. It's the guy that can't be counted on because at the end of the day, work is a commitment. It's one of the biggest commitments you make. You get paid for this commitment.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
Like, treat it seriously and realize you are a link in a bigger chain that when you don't show up to work, somebody else has to take that strain on.
Yep.
I knew a guy that worked in a fast food industry. I think he was working over 100 hours a week because where he was, they had so many call-outs, so many young high school kids that were calling out. He would have to go in and fill these shifts. He was never home. Like, it was to an unbelievable amount. I kid you not, the guy was making bank doing it, but he was working over 100-hour weeks.
Oh yeah,
he'd go home and sleep from midnight to 4 a.m. and be up and have to put out fires. He was closing and opening, and in between was having to do paperwork and everything else. unbelievable amounts of work. And why? Because everybody kept calling out the people that were supposed to be there because they're flakes.
Well, and I you know, work at the local Chick-fil-A here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Got a lot of great team members. They know, and this is something we try to communicate to them, like, listen, if you call out, you just made everybody else on your shift's job a little bit harder.
Yep.
Everybody else is going to take on a little bit more of the work because, like, the customers don't know that there was a call out. So I'm like, oh, there's a call out. I probably shouldn't go. No, they're still coming into Chick-fil-A to order the food. So everybody's job has got a little bit harder. Once again, there's an element here of just you're not thinking of other people. You're thinking of only yourself. Again, the qualifier of if you're actually sick, not talking about that, but, like, not feeling great or my head really hurts or get to work. Like, that happens. There is a thread throughout all of this of simply – a godly young man honors his commitments.
Yeah.
A godly young man honors his commitments. If you committed to go to dinner with your friend at 6 p.m., go to dinner with your friend at 6 p.m. If you committed to help your buddy move at 8 in the morning, be there at 8 in the morning. If you committed to work these hours, Monday through Saturday, work those hours. Like, there, you committed to it, honor it, and that goes all throughout your life. If you're somebody who flakes out of these commitments, what happens when you have a bigger commitment to God, to your wife?
Right.
You've been kind of fudging the numbers on your other commitments. You're going to be a lot more likely to, kind of flake out of your bigger commitments later on in life. So that's why this little stuff that might seem, oh, man, who cares if I called out of my shift at Sonic? It matters. It really does.
The other thing on here that one of the threads going through it, which I think that's the main thread, but there's also some excuse making. Mm-hmm. Out of this, you know, the guy who's making an excuse for not feeling well or kind of looking for the better option. He's trying to get out of that, you know, the backing out of plan. Something came up. There's always an excuse. And that gets us into number four. The guy's a perpetual complainer. There's always something, man. There's always something. He's not feeling well. Like, that's the complaining side of it or whatever it is. Oh, I'm just too put upon. There's always a complaint there. He's looking for the negative in everything. Like, once again, nobody wants to hang around that guy who is very negative in every single time that you're talking about, oh man, work's just terrible. Wow, it stinks. It's doing this, it's doing that. My boss is a jerk, whatever it is. Man, you made the commitment. You signed up. They're paying your salary. Like, we can all complain. We've all complained about our jobs before. I can't complain about my boss too much because he never listens to me, right? You know. But like, we've all been frustrated before. But are you the guy that's always complaining? The guy that's always looking to, you know, having an excuse as to why, oh, I just don't want to go to work today because X, Y, Z. Like, man, it just, you have on here, I love how you said, he sucks the air out of the room. That's really what it comes down to. He just sucks the air out of the room. You are somebody that maybe everything's going well, and then here comes Joe. Great, you know. Like
Johnny Raincloud.
And we do, I know, I got one guy in mind right now. Every single time you see him, it's like, hey, man, what's been going on? Oh, work is really bad. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Just goes out. Man, please don't do that.
This might seem like a weird one to throw in there, but to me, a lot of the traits that we just covered, a similar trait you will find
DuckTales, is
this person complains a lot. This person just always seems to have something to gripe about, something to complain about. Very much a victim mentality as well. Kind of like you said, everybody, you know, I'm put upon or, you know, nothing, man, the boss is just having it out for me. No, the boss is just like reliable people, like, you know, so I don't want to spend too much time here. This one, again, it just is a perpetual complainer. Our exhortation to you would be, man, look for the positive, be optimistic. If there's an opportunity, goodness knows life gives us a lot of opportunities to complain.
Yeah.
Don't take those opportunities. I mean, the straight scripture from the book of Philippians, like, do all things without complaining and disputing. Just don't complain. Just don't be a complainer. Yes, again, you will have days where you want to complain about every single thing because you just have a really bad day. Don't be this guy that's a complainer. Number five trait for somebody who is a flake, he doesn't do things that he's not good at or enjoys.
This is such a good one. I'm glad you added it.
This is such a unique one, but again, you've all seen the guy who everybody's getting together. Maybe they're about to play a game or sport, if it's guys or something. And, you know, I'm not going to play. I'm going to sit this one out. And it's like, why? Well, you know, either number one, again, he's not very good at it. Yeah. Or secondly, he just doesn't enjoy it. And so if he doesn't enjoy it and he's not good at it, I'm going to sit this one out. Y'all go for it. Once again, this might seem like, okay, why is that a big deal? You're not thinking of other people. Everybody else is playing. Everybody else wants you to be there and have a good time. And you don't want to. Why? One, maybe because you're insecure about the fact that you're not good at it, which you need to overcome that. But secondly, if you're just not doing it well because I don't enjoy it, okay, but everybody else does.
Right.
And that is part of being in relationships with people is you sacrifice things. This is just one of those things that, once again, you might find it kind of strange to be in this category. But you'll see these guys who, if they're not good at it or if they don't enjoy it, they're going to kind of be off to the side, you know, pouting or just like, you know, no, y'all go. I'm going to sit this one out. That's not a good trait in my opinion. Like for me, if there's a group playing a game, if there's something going on, I'm going to be a part of it just because I want to be a part of everybody. Like I want to join in the fun with everybody. Whether or not I'm good at it or not is one thing. Yeah. But I don't know. Joe, what are your thoughts on this one? This is kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, no, I've seen this one before. That guy one time. It wasn't great at basketball. Wouldn't play basketball. Man, we could really use you. Really could use you. No, sorry. I don't really play basketball. As soon as the volleyball net came out, boom. First guy out there. He's ready to go. And he was really good at volleyball and kind of put everybody else to shame.
Yeah.
Good for him, but it's like, come on, dude. You want us all to play volleyball with you, and you just waited and waited and waited and waited until everybody was done with basketball. We needed somebody. You could have stepped in and helped, but no, he doesn't want to look like the fool. He doesn't want to do something he's not good at. He's going to hold out until we play his sport, in which case he dominates everybody. Come on, man. Like, get in there. Even if you're terrible, there's only one way to make it better. Yeah, you can be laughed at a little bit. That's okay. Hopefully your ego can take it if somebody makes a little joke here or there about it. Because you know internally, look, we're not playing my sport. You want to come play my sport? I used to have to get into this. Like, I'd have this thought in my mind of, okay, I'm not great at basketball. I'm not great at football, whatever it is. I'll play, but I'm not fantastic. If you want to come play hockey, that's great. That's ready to go, you know? We're not playing hockey right now. I'm going to get out there, make the most of it, try to enjoy myself, try not to look like too much of a fool, but do what you can. You're not always going to have the opportunity to do the exact thing you're good at.
Yep.
You still got to get in there and make it happen. This goes not just with the things that you're good at. This goes to the workplace. This goes to school. Man, I'm a math whiz, but you can barely read, right? Because all you want to work on is the thing that you're really good at. You need to be well-rounded as a godly young man who's working on some things and doing some things that maybe you're not good at.
Once again, it's thinking of other people. It's I've brought this example up before, but I was really impressed by this. Shout out Jack, Joe's brother, if he's watching this. Jack, love him to death, has always been somebody that I kind of thought of as like somebody who if he wasn't super good at it or didn't love to do it, he probably wouldn't do it. We were going to play golf 6 months ago now, 8 months ago now. Never played golf with Jack in his life. Jack was like, hey, I'll go. Is there room? And we were like, absolutely. He wasn't great. He doesn't play a lot. But he came, and we had a great time.
He hit one of the best shots of the day, actually.
Yeah, he was out driving me a couple times, which is like, oh, man, that's not good for me. Not that I'm very good at golf.
Big L. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. But the point is, it was really cool to see because Jack knew that he wasn't probably going to – he's probably going to be the worst one there. Knew that all of us who play more regularly than he does were going to be better than him. He still wanted to go and be a part of the group, even though it wasn't his thing. Man, that is definitely a trait I want to pass on to my son. Of like, listen, man, you're going to have stuff that you're just going to be better at than everybody, and it's going to be really fun for you. That's okay. Don't rub it in. But you cannot be the guy who only does those things and never anything else because other people might possibly be better at it than you. And so I wanted to throw this one on there because I think it's important.
This is one of those that, yeah, there are optics here, and everybody will look around and see. He only does what he enjoys, and it just casts a pall over the entire thing. Like, I don't know.
It also shows a confidence and a security in yourself when you're like, yeah, I'm not going to be good at this. I'm going to give it a try anyway.
Exactly.
If we ever played hockey, I would love to do that. I know I wouldn't be very good, and I'd be like, that's okay. I'm going to go out to Joe and Jack's stomping grounds and let them show me up. But like,
and then I'd come play basketball, and you destroy me. But that's the way that it goes, right? That's the way that it goes, is just be a guy who's willing to try things, who's not insecure about himself, and the flake is somebody who will only do the things he's super secure in. Don't be that guy. Sixth and finally, the flake is the guy who folds under any mental pressure.
Yeah.
Man, this unfortunately is way too common, in my opinion, in today's youth.
This is a Gen Alpha thing, for sure.
Yes, I was going to say. I don't even know if it's Gen Z.
Somewhat Gen Z.
I think Gen Alpha is really kind of perfecting this one, personally. Folding under any mental pressure, where when things, like the moment things get difficult, the moment a stress gets added on, just completely folds. I can't deal with this or whatever else. They back out of the situation, back out of their commitments because things got really difficult. They got real for a second. Like, don't be the guy that is going to fold under specific pressure.
Yeah. I mean, this one, again, should kind of go without saying, but we've talked a lot about the physical side of like calling out of work and, you know, won't commit to anything. This is just, yeah, like you said, like as soon as anything difficult arises up, big test due, big project, I would just rather get under my covers, turn on Netflix, and eat my bowl of ice cream. Yeah. Like, a lot of people think that's a girl thing. This is very much a guy thing as well.
Unfortunately,
to
just these days,
completely fold under any mental pressure, take the D on the exam, and kind of move on. They can't problem solve. They can't critically think because any, like you said, it ratchets up a little bit, and they shut down. Just completely fold. Don't push through it. Don't try to problem solve. probably the number one or number two trait of somebody who is a flake is somebody who can't handle any kind of mental pressure.
Well, you hear the term snowflake. That gets thrown around a lot. And they talk about millennials. I don't actually think that's millennials too much of the snowflakes. I'm sure there are some. There are some in every generation. But I do think Gen Alpha, no offense to any Gen Alphas who are watching, but I do think Gen Alpha is specifically kind of the snowflake. This is the DEI, like, ultra woke, you know, we need to protect feelings at all costs and nothing can go wrong. We need to really make sure that they're feeling very loved in whatever environment they're in. Like, man, there's a school of hard knocks. You're going to get roughed around and life is not going to go your way. That's okay.
Yeah.
You're still going to be okay. But we've kind of taught them that the world will fall apart if it doesn't go your way. Don't be that guy who thinks that the moment something goes wrong, you just, again, that you fold or that there's no point in doing it. Why would I even try at this point? You try because you're getting stronger, you're getting better, you're growing and getting healthier as you go, even if things aren't going well, and especially when things aren't going well. We don't grow that much when there's no resistance. I can lift 5-pound weights all day long. Who cares? Now, get the 50s, you start doing that. Yeah, all of a sudden I can't lift it all day long. Well, why? Which one's giving me more growth?
Yeah.
The 50, right? So we can look at the mental pressure and we can try to avoid all mental pressure, or we can see that as an opportunity to grow and to really embrace it and to say, this is what's going to make me a man. We really need to understand in this culture what makes us men. We have no concept of that. And this is where we're getting in Gen Alpha is they fold under any pressure. That's not manhood.
This is one of those, this episode went a little bit long, but this is one of those things that as we were kind of thinking about it, we just want to encourage you to be somebody who is reliable, be somebody who is dependable, somebody who honors their commitments, be somebody who other people look at and go, you can count on that guy. That's ultimately kind of the litmus test is like, what do other people think of your reliability? You can think you're Mr. Reliable all the time, but what really defines it, or what really, you know, is what distinguishes it is if somebody else thinks that about you. If people at your work, people at your church, your friends go, yeah, we can count on him. If he says he's going to be there, he will be there. You know, he's going to be somebody who will do whatever everybody else wants to do, or whether or not he's good at it. Mental burden, he's not going to, like, kind of, this is one of those things where, one of those rare things where what other people think of you matters. Be somebody who's dependable, be somebody who's reliable, and just honor your commitments. That's kind of the point. I mean, obviously this episode was a lot about, like, don't be these things, but the point is, be reliable, be dependable, honor your commitments. That's what being a godly young man's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to wrap. This is so much about what we've talked about. We've talked about some of these concepts before, but really getting it into one is exactly what Will talked about. You want to be the reliable guy. When things go wrong, they call you. They don't assume that you're going to back out.
Right.
When things go wrong, whatever it is. So yeah, you already said it super well. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, this has been episode 106 of the Godly Amen podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Make sure to get your comments in. Make sure to join Discord, and we will talk to you again next week.